hearts to it, that we may hear you speaking to us. Lord, speak words of life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take a seat. Excuse me while I move this wonderful Bible, but just need some notes. So I don't want to drop it because probably one of you gave it to the church, and that would be a terrible thing to do. I'm delighted to be here from Holy Trinity Platt in Manchester Plattfield. Some of you probably know it quite well. I've been there 12 years or so, and it's been great fun. Wonderful. Our most recent thing is we've just planted a church and given 40 of our people away to Heaton Norris, St. Martin's Heaton Norris. Some of you may know where that is, just on the Didsbury Road. And we sent our student minister down there, who was about to be ordained. And so we're missing them. But it's good. It's good because we want to see a spiritual harvest around Manchester. It's great also to be here because Rob and I used to work together in Bevington. I was rector of St. Andrew's, and he was my associate minister. He's a good sort. He's a very solid opening bat at cricket. Did you know that? You can tell a lot by the way somebody plays, you know. You can tell a lot about a person. Well, we're going to be looking at this great story. Please have your Bibles open, because unless you know it off by heart, page 76 in the New Testament sections, the story of the rich fool. One that we know probably fairly well. It raises a question. Here's a man who had a great harvest, but it became a real danger for him. So much so that God called him a fool. A fool. And he thought he was getting a life. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever said to you, get a life. I hope they haven't, but it's a bit rude. But how would you like these things? Just as a sort of start of a 10. How would you like peace or power or status or revival or a different dimension? Or paradise, or values, or happy family life, or performance, or freedom, or spirituality, comfort, enlightenment, friendship, the breath of life, reconciliation, identity, life, escape, balance, therapy, future, insight. How do you get them? From a brand of tea, a new mobile, a holiday destination, or new footwear. Because advertisers know you long for life. Somehow, you feel as if you should have a life. And you're wondering why you're not having a life. And so we look to all kinds of things for life. And actually, these things attach themselves to our hearts. And we think, if I have that, I will have life. Well, let's look at the story of this man who thought he had life because he had a bumper harvest. And out of that, of course, he had great profits. But God said to him, you are a fool. So we've got three things to look at this morning, and you're probably find them fairly easy to remember. First of all, the hidden disease of greed or money sickness. The story starts in verse 13 with a random question. Somebody in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, it's a random question because Jesus is talking about eternity. He's talking about things that really matter. He says, "You're more value than any than many sparrows," and suddenly out of nowhere this man says, "Tell my brother to give me my fair share." Now, what's going on? There's a bit of an explanation here. He's probably the younger brother, and the father died without a will. Sorry, just don't forget to write one. I'm sorry. just to say. But anyway, father died without a will. The elder brother in that culture gets everything, and then he decides how much the other person is going to get, the younger brother's going to get. So probably he's holding on to it a little bit too long. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus is talking about eternity, and this man bursts out with this question. Why? Because that's churning through his mind as Jesus is speaking. He's not really listening. He's actually thinking about this. Which is interesting, because if I were to ask you, what are you thinking about right now? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But it may be, or the thing that you walked into church with, this is your issue. And you need to work out whether it's something that needs to take your life over. So Jesus speaks to him, first of all. So verse 14, but he, that's Jesus, said to him, friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you? Who set me to be a divider over you? If you'd come to me, he says to this man, and said, look, you know, my brother and I are having troubles, but you know, we could you help us reconcile? We want the relationship. Just help us sort out the money side of things. But the relationship's the important thing. But this man was really saying the relationship isn't important. I just want the money. And he was revealing something to Jesus. And so then Jesus, do you see, then says, he turns, verse 15, and says to them, the disciples, he said, now look, you hear this question? I know what's behind that. He's not looking for a relationship. He thinks the money and the land and the house is what's going to give him life. And so he turns to his disciples and he says, verse 15, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Wow, what a word. Be on your guard, take care, he said. Watch out for this money sickness. Why? Because it's quite hard to spot. There's a bit later on in this particular gospel, in Luke's gospel, where Jesus is talking about Noah and the flood. And he said of the people at the time, he said they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were buying and selling, planting and building. Now those four things would be eating and drinking. What are the best restaurants in Poynton? Sorry. Marrying. Oh, relationships. You always talk about relationships. Buying and selling. Business, you know. And planting and building. Property. And all these things our television programs are full of. Bake Off, Grand Designs. Did you see it this week? I did. Yeah. What's wrong with all of those things? Nothing. Except that was all they thought about. Do you see? There was nothing of eternity. It was all they thought about. It's very hard to see this money sickness disease. You can see some sins, can't you? You can see the sin of adultery, for instance. You know, if you're in bed with somebody, you go, oh, how did I get here? You know, no, you would know. You would know, but you can't see money sickness. But money sickness tells you, if you have me, you can have security. I will give you security. If you have me, I will give you power. If you have me, people will like you. And all those things underneath are the idols of our lives. Money says, I'll keep you safe. Brexit is coming, but I'll keep you safe. Money says, I'll make you important. Money says, people will like you if you have this. I'll give you life. Well, we are easily caught. It's a hidden disease. Now I want to talk about, secondly, a wasted life, because Jesus goes on to tell a story of an illustration of a man who was just like this. Here it is. And so he told them a parable, verse 16. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. So he had a great harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I will build bigger ones to store all my grain and goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, you know, here's a man. He's successful. He has a windfall. He's got the bumper harvest. He's made a fortune, but he's not a fool. He's not going to flood the market, you see. So he gets the bigger barns. He says it's an investment for the future. And so he can retire at 45. Marvellous. What a nice thought. Retire at 45. He's going to get his golf handicap down, which, of course, is very important. He was living the dream. He was entirely successful in the world's eyes, and he's probably got newspaper articles about him. And at his retirement party, he's standing on the balcony, and he's looking out, and he's looking at the view, and he's thinking, I'm going to buy that chalet in Switzerland. And then suddenly there's a searing pain in his chest. He has a heart attack. And at his memorial service, people say lots of nice things about him, but God says to him, you fool. Why did you live for that? A friend of mine preached at a funeral service, and afterwards an old lady came up to him, an older lady, and she said to him, do you know what failure is? His name is Rico. Do you know what failure is, Rico? And Rico said, no. And she said, this is failure. Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter. Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter, that don't last. See, he'd thought all of this was for himself. They were my barns. It was my land. Whereas God says, I gave you that as a tenant to steward. And so there's this chilling line. Tonight, your life is being demanded of you. And then God asks him this very obvious question. And then these things that you've prepared, whose will they be? You know that famous story. It's a very famous story. It's an old story. At the reading of a will, or somebody says, well, how much did he leave? And the answer is, of course, everything. He left everything. So none of the things he lived for, he could take with him. Well, I think he thought it might make him safe or happy. Safe in an uncontrollable world. And so he put his investment in these things and not in the Lord. You know, sometimes things can happen to you that make you realize that actually nothing can keep you safe. 4 years ago, our daughter was, some of you will know, our daughter was in an accident, and she was airlifted to hospital, and we were told 4 or 5 times in the first week that she might die. And suddenly you realize that life, you know, you just can't control these things. Very thankful that she was a Christian, and very thankful that we could trust in the Lord. And it's a good story because she's fine now, she's doing very well. In fact, she's just got a promotion, so we're delighted. But I look for security, I look for significance in all kinds of things. And here's the problem: in your heart and in your mind, and there is something that will look to anything to give us that. We look at this rich man and we say, oh, we mustn't be like him. But here's the truth, we are him. Without, unchecked, without Jesus, we will always look to something. We will always look to something. And even if you are a Christian, you know, that old you, that old rich fool, as it were, still wants to come make a comeback. Very powerful, very powerful. And so Jesus, if you read on, and it's well worth reading on, but we don't have time for it today. Jesus goes on and he talks about what life is all about. And he says, consider the ravens and, you know, don't worry about your life. What you will eat, what your body, what you will wear, I'll clothe you. I look after you. You can trust me with everything. Seek first his kingdom. Ah, wouldn't that be so much better to be living for his kingdom? So what do you and I need? We need a cure for money sickness because it grips us all, and it grips me, grips you. And there is a great cure. It's not possible to cure yourself. It's not possible. What you need is a treasure replacement. really. Jesus finishes this off by saying, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." I need a treasure replacement so that I can be rich towards God. I need something that's going to grip my heart more than all of these things. Now, I know a rich man. I know he actually gave it all up, actually. He went to live with people whose lives were really messed up. And he ended up actually having to go to prison for them. And in the end, he died because he took on the debts of his new friends. What an extraordinary man. And you know who he is, don't you? Because I'm talking about Jesus. And Jesus did that for you and for me. A famous preacher once said this: "If anything else is your treasure, it will demand that you die to purchase it." Anything else that's really gripping you. And that you will make sacrifices to get it. Jesus Christ is the only treasure who died to purchase you. He did that for you. For you. I think that's amazing. Just ponder that for a moment. Just ponder what it would be like to be freed from the anxiety, finding your security and all these other things, and realizing that actually there is one person who is faithful and who has your life and says, "Look, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things, I look after them." What would it be like to be freed? What would it be like to live for the kingdom? I was walking down the road the other day and I saw, we just started an outreach on Curry Mile, if you know Curry Mile. And people have been becoming Christians. And I saw four Pakistani or Iranian guys walking towards me. And I thought, "Ooh, they look a little bit scary, you know." And suddenly, at a distance, they looked at me and they saw me and they smiled and they said, "It's Pastor Steve." These are the people who have become Christians at the Curry Mile. And I realized, oh, that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing to be freed up from fear, to be freed up from living for yourself, to be living for the kingdom. Here's the thing. My heart longs for a home. It longs for security. It longs for acceptance. My heart has a sticky side to it, like a Velcro side, okay? And it can easily get stuck to anything. My heart will Velcro to anybody that gives me what I want, a house or a dream or whatever it is. And here's the thing. You must allow Jesus to attach himself to you, to Velcro himself to you. Let Jesus be the one who is your treasure. A bumper harvest was a dangerous thing for this man. I, without Christ, will turn out to be a rich fool. But if I have Christ Velcroed to me, if I have him Velcroed to me, then my life can change. Christ becomes the one who is all in all. I'll pray that for you. Is Jesus your all in all? Is Jesus the one you trust above all others? Because he's the only one who will never, never let you down. Shall we pray? And would you like to use this opportunity to open your heart to Jesus Christ? You may have been a Christian for many years, but that old money sickness comes back again and again. Or if it's not money sickness, it's other things sickness. You feel if you don't have that, you haven't got life. But if you have Jesus, you have everything. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you. And maybe we come to you for the very first time and realize that you're the one person who can set us free from anxiety, from desire for security, desire to feel appreciated or have significance. Lord, if you are the one who says to me or to each one here, I love you, trust me, seek first my kingdom, I'll give you all the rest, but seek me first. Well, Lord, let that be today the day that we entrust our lives to you. And if we've been wobbling and we've found anxieties creeping in, you are faithful. You won't let us go. Magnify yourself in our hearts and lives, we pray. Be big in our lives so that our worries and our sicknesses and our fears and our overstrong desires become small. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Steve.